a fucking lockdown. Mass hysteria. Mass hysteria.
We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it.
But don't let me touch you.
Be your Clorox wipe girl. God damn, that song slaps. Sorry.
It sounds like the rest of Chromeo, but it's good. It's pretty good.
It sounds like the rest of Chromeo, but in relevant times, talking about COVID and keeping clean and disinfecting, but
yeah,
being sexy and having smooth 80s synth in the background.
Sure.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You probably thought maybe we had, you know, just said, screw the show, we're going to do it anymore. There were definitely those moments, but we did decide to come back and do another episode of the show. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, welcome. For those of you listening again, welcome back. I'm Tom, here with the lovely Catherine.
Hello.
I hope everybody's doing well, getting through this this strange time that we live in here in 2020 with you know, the COVID thing that is still to this day going on. This is our 14th episode of the show. It's been like way over a month since the last show.
Yeah. Oops.
Oops. Sorry. I would say life got in the way, but actually, no. There is none of us really have lives, so just we basically forgot. We decided, you know, just doing the show every week was a tad bit depressing, talking about the current events. But we're back, and you know, we got a nice show lined up for you tonight, or today, or whenever you're listening to this show. We got another interview on the horn. I actually talked to my sister, my kid's sister, Ashley. She would hate that I called her my kid's sister. She's going to hate that. But yeah, I did talk to her. We talked about all that is COVID, the pandemic. My sister's living up in Massachusetts in the Northeast, in the Berkshires, where I am from. And we have a nice little conversation. We'll cut to that in a couple of minutes. And besides that, how you doing, Kath? You're hanging in there, right?
Yeah, doing good. Back to being really bored. I had some work there in the middle for a while, and now I have no work. So back to that.
Yeah, you were rocking it. You were working for a solid month doing some crazy remote work, which is nice.
Well, I think we talked about that
last
show.
Yeah.
So I think it was already over by then. I had a single shoot day that I had to prepare for. But that was my first day on set with COVID precautions in place.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you did one here in Atlanta.
Yes. Dude I know from Orlando has a new job and was coming here, and
yeah,
we hired some crew, and it was wild, kind of.
And you had a hard time finding Clorox wipes, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is perfect. We're bringing it all back. Relevance.
That's
this is great.
True. Yeah, zero Clorox wipes anywhere.
Yeah, none.
Yeah, not only did I stop by several stores, but I called several stores. No, that's just a no. So luckily I had some personal cleaning supplies I brought with me, but that was kind of wild. I mean, you know, usually on set, you have craft service, you bring in all kinds of food and refreshments and drinks and snacks and lunches and catering and all kinds of crap.
Right.
And this was just
bring the disinfectant.
Yeah, you couldn't do any of that. You had to get everything on site. We were at a golf course, which I know I told you, Tom, this was it was East Lake Golf Course, which is like the, I'm going to get this wrong, it's the PGA Tour Championship, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so it's like a fancy,
pretty prestigious golf course. Has some history.
Yeah, I mean, I play Tiger Woods still, and you can play that course on Tiger Woods. So it's
that's all that matters in that sense.
So yeah, but it was weird because you know there's like no golf carts. It's all caddies, which I have never seen before. As long as I've played golf my whole life,
it's a little
I've never been to a caddy only course. So that was crazy, but yeah, no Clorox wipes, disinfectant everywhere, wiping down the chair between interviews.
You guys wore masks the whole time.
Masks. Yeah. Some, Georgia, Georgia.
I guess we could actually just say, the South.
Probably. Oh, good Lord. One dude had a dirty mask. It was dirty from the moment he put it on that morning.
Isn't that like the equivalent of using like a used condom really?
It was disgusting. I looked at that thing when he put it on. I was like, are you going to fucking wear that?
Yeah, he did too.
He did all day.
Of course he did.
The other guy had like the filter on the front, which is no good because your droplets still leave the mask. Another guy just had it on his chin most of the day. Yeah, just.
Yeah, it's just. What is it? It's like. I can't think of those commercials. It was like, remember those old commercials, like 100 something different ways to eat a Klondike bar or whatever the other thing that was. There was a bunch of different ways you could eat it. And that's what it's like with the mask now. It's like, 100 different ways you can wear a mask. Not really. You just should wear it the right way.
100 different ways to wear it wrong, I guess.
To wear it wrong.
It shouldn't be that difficult. I mean, it's not. It's not that difficult. You're intentionally making it difficult
if you
can't do it.
And you know, here we are nowadays as well. God, we've been months into this pandemic, and obviously the politicalization, did I say it right?
No, I'm sure not. Keep going.
Okay, well, you get what I'm saying. It has become really bad. It's just gotten worse. Obviously, it's just making these kind of political statements on, I don't want to wear a mask, I don't have to wear a mask. That has not stopped. That has gotten worse.
Everybody who listens to that lives in the world. Like, who cares? We know that.
It sucks. You know, I forgot to do the thing. Which we do on every episode. I tell you some facts here. It is episode 14. The date is August 31st, 2020. And this is day 172 of quarantine.
For us.
For us.
Yep.
Again, I would double that number because it feels like way more than that.
I mean, I don't know if it's quarantine. It's
maybe not quarantine.
It's
just pandemic.
Self-isolation. Yeah. That's what it is.
Living hell. But yeah, I mean, since we last did the show, the numbers, I mean, I guess congratulations, everybody. We actually clocked over 6 million cases, I think just today or yesterday here in the United States. Death tolls up to over 183,000 deaths, a miraculously large number from the last time. That's the sad part, is as we take breaks and we come back weeks and months later, all these numbers don't really stop or go down. They just keep clocking up and up and up. So. That's our year, baby.
We're for us, and at least I think the day we started self-isolating was the day that the Trumpster declared the national emergency.
It was.
So
it was that Friday the 13th.
Yeah. So since then, it's been almost, we're not quite to 6 months, which I can't believe, but I do believe we are, I'm just going to say it, another year out.
Yeah.
So,
I don't
know.
It doesn't seem very promising that there's going to be some just miraculous click of the finger and all of a sudden everybody's getting vaccinated and everybody's coming out and tossing their masks up into the air and celebrating. I mean, I just don't see that happening quickly. I think when it even does start, which would be beginning of next year, it's just going to be a long process to wait through too.
Yeah, I think we're a ways away. So, you know, I'm still in I'm just going to say, I thought it would become routine faster. I still miss a lot about like life.
So do I.
I would have thought that I would just like, you know, just get used to it, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, I mean, sure. It's like the weirdness factor of going out in public and seeing a bunch of people with masks on in a store. I'm kind of okay with that now. I think that's a natural thing.
Yeah.
Natural backdrop.
Yeah.
For me, it's, you know, I wash my hands still. That's still a, you know, check that box. We're disinfecting our groceries still. We're doing things and taking those precautions that have just become kind of clockwork in this new day and age.
That's true. That all has become normal.
But the longing for everything else hasn't really gotten better. I still miss what I used to do, going into stores and feeling okay about it, you know, going into restaurants. I mean, my God, what I wouldn't give to go and like have a normal meal in a restaurant.
I saw a tweet that was something like, I could really go for a nice tall glass of sitting at a restaurant.
Oh, exactly. An extra large glass of that, please, with refills.
Uh-huh.
It's crazy. But again, it's just what it is. We just have to do this. And that's what I've just reserved myself to saying is like, well, I just have to do this. So.
Well, yeah, no shit. But, you know, in the meantime, though, because we are missing restaurants and we're kind of restaurant people, at least on the weekends, we've done a lot of ordering. I know at the beginning, I was actually just thinking about this as we were sitting down to chat today. You know, at the very beginning, I remember collecting all those groceries on Friday the 13th in March. And
like pack rabbits, we went crazy. We were, yeah. it was literally like the end of the world was coming the way we shopped that
first
day.
Except like everybody else, we'd have finished those groceries so fucking fast. But
oh my god, that cart was brimming. I took a picture of that cart just to like mark that occasion in my mind. I could not believe how full our shopping cart was.
It was. And it didn't last all that long. I'm still going to say that.
Like
it
2 weeks.
Did not. Yeah.
Maybe a week and a half.
So, and we weren't going out to restaurants because first of all, restaurants were fucking closed.
Yep.
And it was like, oh shit, we have all these groceries too. We just spent like $500 on groceries, so let's eat at home. And then we started bargaining. We were like, okay, we'll have a restaurant once a month.
Right.
We did like, you know, your birthday was one in April.
Yep, that's right.
And so we had little like Cinco de Mayo. We did food for that. And we were like, all right, we'll just pick like a day a
occasional
month.
Occasional eating out.
We'll get takeout one day a month.
Yeah. Well, that shit is not happening anymore. It's basically every weekend now.
All takeout all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sick of that now. So now we're back to like, now
hit that wall. And that's the problem. And we have found that happening since this started is there's these kinds of cycles like, okay, like we were into games and playing board games and different kinds of games when it all started. Went crazy. We ordered games, played new games, learned new games. It was freaking great. Then it was like, okay, games suck.
I don't want to see another game maybe ever.
And then, you know, same with like, watching movies. Oh, watching movies was fun. Then, you know what? All the good movies were, we had watched them, and then it's like, we don't really want to watch movies.
Same
with video games
movies,
with me.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a thing with video games, and I stopped wanting to play video games.
Yep.
And now it's eating. And it's just like, please, I do not, you know, I just want one thing that I can find maybe every month that just gets me to the next month. Give me that little thing of excitement, please.
Yeah. Yep. And napping. I know I've talked about napping.
Yeah, we've
here
napped
a lot.
Like, oh my God. I've napped years of my life already away.
Well, I started out napping at the very beginning of this thing, and then I was like, no napping, and I was all projects and shit. Now I'm back to the napping phase.
We've project ourselves out as well.
Not really. There's so many things I should do, but you get to that point where you're just like, fuck everything.
Yeah, and I mean, look, that's fine, and I think that's just what it's going to be, and that's what we have to come to terms with, and it is what it is. So,
yep.
Pick a fucking hobby and stick with it, people.
Or don't.
Just watch all the Netflix, all the Hulu. Watch it all.
And then get sick of that and move on to the next thing.
And then move on to Prime and HBO Max and all the other amazing streaming services at your fingertips. Alrighty. Why don't we'll go to my interview with my sister. Again, this is my sister, Ashley Barilli. Lives up in Massachusetts, in Pittsfield, Massachusetts. Represent. With my folks, Ashley works in, I believe she works in kind of holistic medicine. I got her to kind of explain it on the interview, and she does a really great job explaining what it is she does up there. And she's been working nonstop, since the beginning of the pandemic. And we talk a little bit about life up there. It's a little bit of a slower pace up there, as Catherine can attest to, a little small town life. And how she's dealt with things. And we get into it. We kind of go here and there and everywhere. But it was a really good interview. And I think you're going to enjoy it.
Your call is important to us.
Don't mind me. I'm snacking on some goldfish.
I know. I feel like I should have a snack too.
Well, I'm trying to snack off the microphone so you don't hear.
I know. I don't want to be eating while we're filming it. I'm fine. I had a little snack earlier.
I'm a perpetual snacker. I find myself always wanting something to eat, which is
You get that from Dad.
Yeah, you're right, Dad.
He's like a fucking mouse. Every night you hear like the cupboards going, and I'm like, is it a mouse? No, it's Dad, and he'll be so funny. I'll go downstairs to check on him. And his head will be in the cupboard, and he'll be like, "What else can I eat today?" And he's just
well. That's
you get that
That's the fun part with coming home, is that there's always awesome goodies and snacks everywhere because Dad's a snacker, so that's good.
Yes, he is. Yep.
So how are you hanging in there? Everything's good besides COVID?
Yeah, everything's good. You know, it's just the world seems very slowed down, super slow.
I know. And there doesn't seem to be much good news, especially if you start reading up on this stuff. I mean, I try not to read a lot on it, but then I do find myself going down the proverbial rabbit hole with it, and it's just not good.
And if you hear other people talking about it, then you kind of want to look into it too.
Oh, yeah.
I know. It hasn't been a great year, but we're almost out of it. We're getting there. We're moving into fall.
Can you believe that? I was actually saying that to Catherine the other day, that how I think because of COVID, like, they're pushing fall earlier. Like, pumpkin spice lattes are out now.
I know. And then the Halloween candy was out like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
they are. They're like, the Christmas trees will be up end of September, because they're really trying to get this year to end as fast as they can.
I know. And part of me wants that too, but also part of me's like, let's just enjoy it. It's just been a weird year. Everything's been weird. Birthdays have been weird. All the summer stuff, like 4th of July, was weird.
All of it's weird. I know.
It is all weird.
Do you think you're going to come home in December, or you're not sure yet?
I mean, it's one of those things where we just have to play it by ear. We have to see. I mean, I guess in a perfect world, this stuff calms itself down and there's not a crazy amount of outbreaks and cases still. I'm just worried that with the flu season coming up and it being colder weather, I mean, that's my biggest worry, is like, we could find ourselves catapulting back into just being a disaster again.
I wasn't thinking about that with the flu season coming on.
Yeah, they actually say that because of the flu season, that it could potentially make it worse. And you got to think about cold weather too. Like, everybody gets sick in the cold, especially up there, because up there it's like, you guys get down into the freezing numbers.
The worst weather. We get hit with some storms. I know. So I wasn't even thinking about that coming for us. Yep.
But I mean, in a perfect world, I'd love to. I mean, I feel it would be the one good thing we could do this year, is make it up for the holidays. But
no.
I don't
know.
We'll see. Just got to get through the next couple of months and see what pans out, especially with me too. I mean, I'm hoping I pick up work in October.
Yeah.
And then if that happens, who knows? I mean, I'd probably be really busy, because I got to be catching up on all the stuff I haven't done I can't believe I've been.
When did you stop working? How many months?
Yeah, I got furloughed in the second week of April. So, Jesus Christ, man, 5-6 months almost. I mean, literally almost half the year I haven't worked. And that just feels so bizarre.
It's such a, I know, I, because I work at a medical center, I guess been lucky to keep my job going, but I don't even know how I would feel if I didn't work all those weeks, you know?
Let's talk about that, because that is something interesting. And I mean, I don't know many people. I want to say I know you and like two or three other people that have worked throughout the pandemic. So like, what has that been like for you? I mean, you obviously work in, I guess you could call it the medical field. So you are kind of a necessity, and you have to keep working.
Yeah. So, you know, for a while they cut back for my position. I work in the administrative department. For I would say a couple of months, we were cut back our schedule. So I would typically work Monday through Friday. I had to cut back on my Fridays, which was kind of nice for a while, because I had a 3-day weekend. So I was like, all right, I can get used to this.
Right.
So everybody was kind of, either their schedules were cut back, or those that are on a salary did have to take a cut for a while, because we weren't getting our international patients coming in. So, you know, my center takes patients from all over the world. And because of COVID and restrictions in traveling, we weren't getting those patients to come in. So we had to look at numbers, and the CEO just decided, you know, I need to cut people back until we're up and running like we have been.
Absolutely.
We're busy, you know, even though haven't had as many of the, you know, international patients coming in, we decided that we were going to try to offer telemedicine, more telemedicine services. Mm-hmm. You know, so more people were coming in, you know, calling and wanting to do the appointments, you know, over Zoom or on the phone. And it actually saves them some money doing that way because they don't have to, you know, pay for their airfare, their hotel when they come here. Oh, so yeah. We had a flood of those calls of people wanting to do telemedicine as new patients, because we didn't do that before. We would always have new patients come into the center.
Interesting.
To meet with them face to face, but we had to be creative and give some people, you know, options. So we're doing the telemedicine thing.
Wow. So that wasn't something that was regularly offered when you guys were doing this before. You had to pivot to that with the COVID situation.
Yeah. So we've been busy with that. You know, my office is just keeps going, and I was just offered the new position that came out of nowhere. It was a total surprise. I didn't even think that anything like that would become available, especially this year.
So awesome,
that
was, man.
That's like a nice little chunk of good news.
It is a great little chunk of good news, and congrats. That's awesome. You've put in your time there, and it's awesome to know that they're seeing your value and your worth.
Thank you.
And that means a lot, you know, and it is one of those things. That's what anybody in any company holds out for, is to feel like, hey, do you want me to stay around? What is my worth to you guys? And they've shown you that. So I'm very happy for you. That's great.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised when the practice manager approached me in my workstation. I thought I was going to get like written up because I wasn't wearing my mask, you know, because you forget, like you need to go to the printer or the mail room. Oh, shit, I forgot my mask.
Right.
So she, you know, comes up to me on a Friday and she was like, can I see you in my office? And I was like, oh, my God. And I go in there and she sits down and she's like, are you nervous? And I'm like, well, yeah, what is this? You know, why? Why am I here? And then she just slid the new job description over to me. And I was in shock. You know, I think all she saw were my eyes just like get big.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, because I had been waiting for an opportunity like that to happen. I was hoping it would happen there, but I wasn't sure. And it did. So
it's good.
I'll take it.
Oh, hells yeah, you're going to take it. And that's great. Yeah. And it seems to be, you know, pivoting toward, you know, what your degree was in school and, you know, what you liked doing before. And
yeah,
I always say, you know, if you stay positive and you keep thinking of something, eventually it'll come your way. So there you go. And that's good. So, hey, there's something to look forward to in end of this year into
something
2021.
Positive.
I know.
We need to try to hold on to and grab out for anything that's positive that's, you know, happening this year. So yeah, so that's good news. But you know, life is just working and then coming home. And you know, as far as social interactions, I've had one of my good friends who's also a coworker. I had her over the house for like dinner and a fire.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing right now, is having like small family gatherings with dinner.
I've seen that.
Sitting outside.
I was gonna ask, you know, so obviously, I live in Georgia. You are up in Massachusetts, two completely different spots in the country. And I know we've all been affected by COVID differently. And, you know, when this first started back in March into April, New York was a really bad spot. It was basically one of the epicenters for COVID in the country.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that Massachusetts took a page from New York, and they were very careful. They shut a lot of things down. You know, Charlie Baker, the governor, he was really smart. So what was it like when it first started there? Did you guys really see the crackdown and stuff start to change quickly?
Yeah. You know, it was just a shock to the system. You know, we're just trying to figure out. I know that I have many friends that were, you know, laid off, lost their jobs, were sweating it out. You know, I was thankful that that wasn't the issue for me, but just people losing their jobs.
Yeah.
You know, I know that I have friends who have elderly parents that are in, you know, assisted living or in nursing homes, and they were not able to visit their family for months.
That's
they
tough.
Could, you know, they could call, you know, and or maybe like go up to a window and wave hi to their loved one, but there was not that
connection,
which is so sad, right? I feel that when I'm thinking about this year and everything being shut down and, you know, people social distancing, which I understand we have to do that. I totally understand it. But my heart aches for many different people, obviously those that have been sick with the disease, people that have lost their lives. But I'm also thinking about all the plans that people couldn't enjoy this year.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think about the graduates this year who didn't get those graduations, like the parties that you and I had.
Can you imagine that, though? That's a really good point. I was thinking of that, too. It's like, you talk about a culmination of literally most of your young adult life and
right.
4 years of your life, all of your friends, you're there doing this big event together. Yeah. And I mean, if we looked back on our graduating summers, could you just imagine if like you just wore your cap and gown in the kitchen and took pictures with your mom and dad?
No. We had the DJ, the family hanging all over the porches. We were lucky. 2 or 3 in the morning,
raging.
You know, we were lucky we had cool neighbors, but we really had parties, and that's what it,
I know.
That's what it should be.
That's,
you know,
sad.
that's a chapter of a young person's life that's ending and they're going into a new stage of life. And I just feel so sad for the graduates this year.
It's hard.
It's like they had to celebrate in silence. And then I'm also thinking about, the pregnant women out there that are terrified to carry their children during this pandemic.
I know.
And they can't have their baby showers, a time in their life where they want to bring their family together to celebrate this new life.
Absolutely.
And they can't do that.
I mean, imagine
and
just giving
sad.
Birth. I mean, that whole protocol too. I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of things are, I was mm-hmm. reading that even like husbands can't be in the delivery room with their wives. That's a very personal moment. That's a beautiful moment in a couple's life. And, you know, honestly, for just safety because of the pandemic, I saw some people I knew on Facebook had a baby. And then basically it must have been, God, 2-3 months later. And it was like a picture of them wearing masks and like, the mother of one of those people was like, I finally get to hold my grandchild. It was 4 months later.
That just, it pulls on your heart. That's sad.
But it just shows you how disruptive it has been. And obviously it did start out that way in March. Stuff's starting to kind of loosen up and alleviate.
Yeah.
Now, is it different there now? I mean, compared to then, you know, how are things in Massachusetts and in Berkshire County
now?
Yeah.
Well, Charlie Baker, very smart guy. He has that 4-step like reopening phase.
Yeah.
We'll see step 4 once there's a vaccine and they consider it going back to the norm.
Interesting.
But right now things have been opening up slowly. Where I work in the same plaza, there is a little cafe that serves breakfast and lunch, and I'm like one of their biggest customers. I go every day, spend my money there, love it. And, you know, I was scared for him for a while.
I
wasn't sure if he was going to close and not open back up. But now you're seeing people, you know, dine outside. And we've been so lucky here in the Berkshires because we've had a beautiful, and another positive I want to say, focus on the positive. We've had a beautiful summer. The weather has been fantastic this year.
So you can't ask for more being up north. That's beautiful.
It's been a gorgeous summer. So I feel that the universe is like, I'm going to give this to you.
Yeah.
Everything has been shut down.
Let
me give you a gift. So it's great to see people starting to sit outside, have lunch, have dinner, meet with their friends again, get that fresh air, be out of their houses, and people are laughing together. So it's slowly starting to come around, you know, but it's going to take some time. I do want to mention about a month ago, Mom and I decided to go to the mall. So we went
to the to the big mall near us. Yeah.
What
was that like?
Times.
What was that
so
like?
We ended up going on a Saturday and it was super hot. So everybody else that's normal was like near water. We went to the mall.
In true form. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, Mom. And we jumped in the car and we're like, you know what? We need to get out of the house. And we took the little drive And it worked out well for us because it wasn't busy there.
Sure.
So, you know, again, it was like 85 degrees. People were on their boats and at the ocean, whatever. But, you know, we had the full masks on. You know, you had to keep your distance in the stores. You couldn't try anything on, which is interesting, which I get why they're doing that.
Yeah.
But you're literally holding clothes up to you and you're like guessing if it's going to fit and you're just hoping for the best. It's interesting.
And every store, I assume, had a mask mandate. You had to wear a mask in the mall and in each store.
It'll say right as you're entering the mall that you have to wear a mask.
Yeah.
And so I did see one couple that didn't have masks on, though.
Interesting.
I don't know.
We've been out around here.
The mall cop did not chase them down at that point.
We've seen it here because, like I said, we'll go out, you know, Target, Walmart, a couple smaller department stores. And it is true. Like, people usually get past the front entrance and then they sneakily, like, take it down on their chin or something.
Yeah. So I saw this couple, like, walk into JCPenney, no masks on, no masks in their hands, just totally confident walking in. And I was all right. You know, and then, Mom and I had our first dining experience since everything opened back up. We went to one of the restaurants in the mall.
Interesting.
And that was interesting. So right as you walk in, there was a station for hand sanitizer.
Yep.
They definitely spaced out the booths and they had like extra plexiglass on top of the booths.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like made like higher
up. And then the menus were all...
glass?
Yeah, on top of the booths, they had an extra, like, secure plexiglass, like, to make it even higher.
Like a big cube of plexiglass.
Exactly. On top of the booths.
I guess, sure.
And then the menus were all, like, throwaway, one-time use menus.
Paper menus, yeah.
Paper menus.
Makes sense, because if you think about those laminate ones, I mean, everybody's touching.
Touching,
yep.
Right. Touching their nose, you know, and then putting their germs all over the plastic ones. So I liked that idea of the paper menus. And then I felt safe. Mom and I had a great experience dining, and I mean, I felt fine.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah. And I mean, I haven't done the dine-in experience since. Mm-hmm. We've done the delivery, which is super mixed results. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's garbage. But that's another thing, too, is like eating out is an experience. It's a social experience. You get to look people in the eyes, talk, laugh, have a drink. I mean, I feel, too, like a lot of these places are making people wear masks. I mean, what are you doing? You know, putting your mask up, taking your mask down every, 10 seconds to take a drink or eat something.
Every fry.
Every fry. Yeah.
Pulling down your mask for every fry that you eat. Yeah.
I mean, in Berkshire County, in Pittsfield, when you guys go out, are people abiding and wearing masks out in public still?
I have a couple stories about that. So most people that I've seen, yes, are wearing the masks.
Yeah.
They are respecting the 6 foot, you know, distancing rule.
Yeah.
It's funny when you are a single person and you're out in one of these stores. And like, for an example, I was at the grocery store with Mom and there was this guy with his mask on. I had my mask on and we were, you know, coming towards each other. And
a romance story.
You know how
you
usually just flash those pearly whites and, you know, you're smiling. Well, I know I tried to smile. He tried to smile and we like panicked because we couldn't see each other's mouths. So then we're like trying to figure out, you know, how do I flirt? So we both just kind of like raised our eyebrows and did this weird, like, you know, and it's just awkward.
That is going to be the new flirting is, raising the eyebrows.
Learning how to, using that eye expression, exactly, the eyebrows and just making your eyes big. And it was just so awkward. And we both nodded. We did the nod, like.
Or like a thumbs up. So we're like a dad.
Right.
That's a dad move. Though.
Yeah,
I
you're
know,
cute.
I don't know about that.
You know. It's awkward when you're out in public and you're single and you're
A lot to be left to the imagination too. Also too, I mean, what if you met somebody wearing a mask and you don't know what their teeth look like? You know, you got no preview of that area. So,
yeah, that's a disaster. That definitely could be a disaster. Yep. But I was thinking about that, how weird it is for single people to be out and about right now. And then Mom, of course, was cracking me up. She's always the one that goes out and has a story when she comes home.
Always.
And she's always around these like Jerry Springer-like situations. So she told me, that she went to the grocery store about, I want to say 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And there was this younger guy, and I think she told you the story, but it's worth sharing with our friends on the podcast, that she saw this young man, you know, following the rule, wearing his mask.
Yeah.
And this older woman enters the aisle, no mask, coughing her lungs out over the aisle. Coughing. And mom said the guy got more and more agitated with every cough. And so he finally was like, Jesus Christ, you don't have a mask on and you're coughing all over.
Oh God.
And the woman like turned and she was like, it's a smoker's cough.
Yeah, like that's supposed to make anybody feel better.
It's not Corona. It's a smoker's cough.
Thank you, ma'am, for letting me know. I feel so much better.
And the way mom was telling it, and of course, it's always at Big Y supermarkets.
Always.
Every time she goes to Big Y, there is a story to follow.
She loves just frequenting that crazy spot, man. Oh,
yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. If you want some action and entertainment, I guess that's the store to go to. So.
And that's it, too, is it's like everybody's on edge. Every fucking person is on edge.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You can cut it with a knife no matter where you go in. And it is that feeling because there's some people that are just footloose and fancy free. Oh, fuck it. You know, there's like no mask mandate down here. So it's usually you roll the dice. You walk in. Who's wearing a mask?
Crazy.
Who isn't? Who doesn't respect your boundaries?
Crazy.
So that's a weird thing. And it's just always, though, I can always feel like if I'm in an aisle, I can feel somebody's tension where I'm like, look, I'm not coming near you. I got my mask on. See, and that's weird because I think we're going to come out of this on the other end. We're all going to have a little bit of PTSD with being how to socialize with each other again.
Completely agree. You know, and I think that I'm speaking being an empath.
Yep.
It's hard for empaths during this pandemic because we are intimate people. When we see someone out that we know that we care about, what do we want to do? We want to hug them to death,
know,
you know, grab them.
Yep.
Give them a kiss on the cheek. Or I'm the type of person when I talk to you, I'm like, I'm in your bubble. I'm touching your elbow. I'm letting you know I'm listening to you. So it's going to be awkward because you want to do that, but you're like, it's that weird, like feeling each person out to see what their comfort
it's
level
is. It's an odd
is.
Dance.
So
it really is.
It's really strange. It's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. And it's just like, again, going back to what you said earlier, it just sucks because like so much of human existence can be doing stuff with other people. It's interacting. It's going to places with crowds. It's going to concerts. I mean, they just, I think this week, opened up some movie theaters again. So
I mean, was wondering about
that's
that.
That's going to be a weird experiment. It's going to be a weird experiment. I mean, I don't think you're going to find me in a movie theater for a little while.
No,
to me, I just don't. I've seen the movie Outbreak too many times, and no way.
The coughing and
yeah,
like all the little
all
things.
Of that.
All
that has forever just tainted my brain. I just can't. I can't. I can't.
Yeah.
I would be thinking about it too much. And, you know, hey, whatever. Movies are coming out quicker on streaming and whatever, VOD.
Right.
So I'll catch them 3 weeks to a month when they're after.
I'm with you on that. We're both movie people.
Yeah, we are.
We love to go to the movies. We love movies. But I'm not ready to do that yet. And I'm happy just watching it in the comfort of my home.
And that brings up another topic I want to talk about. So obviously you're a movie person. I'm a movie person. With the caveat of streaming, thank God it's been a lifesaver during this pandemic because we've all been trapped at home. You are a serial rewatcher. You rewatch a lot of
things. I was just
going to
say that you made me super nervous just now because I'm like, he's going to ask me what new stuff I've watched. And I don't.
I know you haven't.
To give.
I know you like to rewatch. You and Dad, you're cut from the same cloth as Dad. My Dad can rewatch seasons of House like it's going out of style.
Right.
But yeah. So what's your go to? What have you been watching a lot of that you like to watch?
Well, of course, when the pandemic first hit, they put Outbreak on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. We watched it.
Right in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. Just to terrify everybody.
Just to scare. Just to put the fork in a little bit deeper,
right? Yeah, exactly.
So, Right. And so I love that movie. I always have. Yeah. I love the cast. I love the little monkey, that little shit, but I think he's so cute. So I started watching that in the beginning. One new show, I'm proud to say I did watch something new, was and it was in the beginning of this whole shit show, was The Tiger King.
Oh, yeah. Tiger King was that. That was like, that was the official shotgun start to the pandemic.
Exactly.
Everybody watched
like
Tiger King.
The beginning stage of this chaos was Tiger King.
Joe Exotic all day.
So that was crazy, but it was a nice distraction, you know? It just totally kind of just...
That's what television has been. It's been a total distraction, and it's been the thing to get to at the end of the day in a lot of ways. It's like, okay, cool, it's the end of the night. Now I get to watch my show, or I'll get to pick back up where I left off. I mean, that's been us since this shit started. So,
and we need that. We need that. That's one way to survive this, is to have our healthy distractions, right? So I've been watching... Well, right now you'll laugh, but I'm rewatching House MD. Yeah, I love me
taking
some
taking a page from Dad.
Hugh Laurie. I love Hugh Laurie.
Yeah.
So I'm watching House. I started watching Schitt's Creek, and then I got distracted with something else and didn't finish it.
Yeah, we've been watching it. Well, we stopped it probably the fourth season, I think. We had gone on a tear with it, and then, as we typically do, we found something else and then started watching that instead. But it's all right. It's not. It's. I mean, yeah. I see the appeal. I understand why people think it's funny. I like the characters in it.
Me too. So I started watching that, and then I just, I don't know, something happened and I just didn't get back to it. I will tell you. What is that movie that just came that I watched with the director of Hereditary? Is it Midsommar?
Oh, Midsommar. Yeah.
Midsommar, am I saying that right?
Yes. Weird.
So that one was an interesting watch. My good friend Lisa, we love to share like the most fucked up movies we've watched and get the other person to watch it. So I told her she needs to watch Funny Games.
Yeah, that's a fucked up movie.
That's a mind fuck.
Yes, it is.
I also watched it the night before my wedding. That was Catherine's recommendation. So that was fun.
All about those good feelings.
All the good feels that weekend. And so she told me to watch Midsommar, and it's worth watching once because it's just
I could never see myself watching it again. But I first time I got through it and I was like, okay, yeah, I watched it. It's fucking weird.
It was screwed up.
Yep.
Right.
It's a weird movie.
It was screwed up. Yep. It made me scratch my head. I'm glad I watched it once, but I'm fine if I don't see it again. But I saw that. That's probably the most recent movie I've seen.
And you have your Disney Plus membership, which is my Disney Plus membership.
Thanks
to
you.
Yeah, I honestly don't use it a lot. I watched a lot of The Mandalorian. I watched that. Like, I kind of got it for that. And then there's like random times when I'll be like, hey, Catherine, we should watch this old Disney thing, and we'll watch it. That's it.
Yeah, they have some good stuff on there. I know I was watching the old classics, and then they have Return to Oz on there. You know how that's one of my
I was talking about that movie the other day to Catherine because she had never seen it. I'm like, you never saw that movie?
You have got to.
I feel like that was an 80s staple, man. It was such a strange movie.
It was terrifying for a child.
It really is. It's intense for a kid.
Yeah, I think that's where my obsession with horror began.
Oh, that's true. If you trace it back to it, for sure, all of it, like the wheelies and like the creepy, like headless lady that's like got all the heads in
the
cases. Yeah, I mean, it was a dark, dark movie. There was, I mean, there wasn't very much light undertones to it. That fucking weird moose thing, the furniture monster.
The moose head.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. But I like weird, so I think that's where
shaped
my obsession started, because I remember seeing that as a young child, and I just freaking fell in love with it. So that's on Disney Plus. Willow is on Disney Plus.
I love Willow. I have a soft spot in my heart for that movie. That's a good one.
That'll always be a family favorite. That and Legend. Even the cousins love Legend.
Yeah, Legend is good, too. Those are good fantasy flicks. You got to watch them maybe a couple times in a few years. You got to catch them, you know, check out how they are.
Absolutely.
But everything's available. That's the thing, though. Streaming, if you look for it and you want to find it, it's there. And that's been, again, a huge asset to have in this time when sometimes you just run out of shit to do.
Right. So let's talk about things that you and Catherine have been doing. I've been very impressed with how you've been using this time, you know, while you haven't been working. So let's talk. What some things that, like with athletics or whatever, you're biking, you're doing yoga.
Well, we did. We try to do yoga. We admirably try. And when I say admirably, it's basically when we can get off our asses and do it. But yeah, we started doing that at the beginning of the year before the pandemic and just kept doing it. She had always kind of dabbled with it and tried it. And I would watch and be like, I don't think I'll like that. And then I did it like for a week and I was like, oh, I feel kind of good. Made me feel strong and stretch me out and feel like, you know, like my core felt like I actually got a workout, you know, better than good. When I had just been like lifting weights before. And so we stuck with it, and we do try to do that regularly. And when I say that, it's basically Monday through Friday for a few minutes a day. Just you can do them online. We do yoga with Adrian. She's some weird
yoga with Adrian.
She's some weird hipster chick in Texas, and she just is always doing these like 20-minute lessons. Yep. And then biking has been a mixed bag because we did get bikes, but our bikes kind of shit out on us, honestly. We bought some used bikes, and they were great. We rode them for like 2 weekends, and I actually have to bring them out tomorrow to get looked at again. Probably get a chain fixed, brakes, but it's one of those things where it's kind of a money pit, but it was nice because we wanted to do it for the exercise. And, you know, honestly, I loved biking as a kid, so I feel like I picked right back up with that. I really do like biking around. It's fun.
It's funny you say that because I can't remember the last time my ass was on a bike. I think it would be awkward for me at first.
First few minutes is awkward, but then you get your confidence back and you're like, oh, this is how you do it, you know?
Right. That inner child kicks in.
Oh, totally. And it's like... Yeah, and you just kind of feel like, I guess in comparison to running or walking, you just get further faster, and you feel like, oh, this is good. I'm doing something. I'm getting the mileage in, and it's nice because then you get a break. Because here too is weird because when we used to bike in Florida, it's all flat, so you never had to like really huff it. But there's freaking hills here. It's like being in the Berkshires. You know, in our neighborhood up there, there's crazy hills.
I can tell by your Instagram videos of you
barely getting up the hill.
I didn't want to say barely. I was waiting for you to say it. I didn't want to offend, but like, yeah, barely making it.
Oh, I'm
but
working,
yeah,
baby.
Hey. You're doing more than I'm doing. So
I don't think that's true. I think everybody's just finding what they want to do to get by, and that's truly what it is. It's just I got all this time on my hands. What the hell do I do? And like honestly, it's been projects around the place, cleaning different things, reorganizing things. And that's it. Just checking boxes because, again, eventually, I can't tell you, you know, if you asked me 4 or 5 months ago, do you want to go back to work? I'd have said, you know, I could wait a little longer. Now it's like, I do want to get back. I want some normalcy in my life again. I want routine.
Exactly. And that'll happen. It's going to happen.
It is going to happen. I know it's going to happen, but, yeah, and then again, it's just, you know, just how the rest of the world is. Once you do get back to work, it's like, how does your work change? How does it pivot now post-COVID?
Right.
It's going to be an interesting thing.
Yeah, I'll be interested to get your feedback on how your job is picking up. Like I said, me working in a medical center, we've always been working. So there hasn't been that, like, pause.
Yeah. You're an essential thing, though. It's not like you guys can stop down, you know? And with what you do, I mean, we don't need to give the name of your company, but it's more of a holistic approach to medicine.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
So are you guys changing any of that stuff with COVID? Is there new things that you guys are offering or doing, or are people coming to you for more specific things now because of COVID?
Yeah, you know, people will contact us. You know, my center employs, we have doctors, nurses, nutritionists, PAs, and of course, all of our support staff. We have our own lab, a little mini lab, which is cool. So, you know, our center just focuses on food as medicine. That's what we tell people. Food is medicine. We try to heal people as naturally as we can. You know, so when you go to a conventional doctor, primary care. They're wonderful. I love my primary care doctor, but they are trained in their field. When they hear an ill, they match it to a pill.
Yeah.
Ill, pill, right? And that's
that
what they, that's
true.
How they're trained.
Yeah, to go to the pharmaceutical company.
People are, you know, at home with this medicine cabinet full of pills. So my center, our doctors are able to prescribe medication if they feel it's helpful, mm-hmm. but they don't, that's not their first goal. They want to try to heal you as naturally as they can. So you, when you become a new patient, you have your doctor. You also have a nutritionist. So we do a lot of work with nutrition and customizing that to each patient, whether they want to lose weight, gain weight, you know, help with blood pressure, cholesterol, all of that. We tailor a nutrition plan. The doctor is there for support. We also do a lot of work with, you know, and encourage patients to take care of their mental health as well. So obviously, body's important. But taking care of that mental health is just as important. So we do a lot of work with meditation, relaxation practices.
Very cool. And, you know, that stuff's pretty tried and true. You know, I used to kind of laugh at meditation. I haven't done it in a while, but I got pretty deep into it. And it is really something else if you dedicate your time to meditation.
Exactly. Those types of practices, if you're consistent with it, you will notice a difference.
Absolutely.
One of my favorite techniques that I want to share that I learned through working at my center is called free form writing. So what you do, and you have to, again, it's about being consistent. So, you know, you try, maybe do it, start twice a week, once in the beginning of the week, once at the end, and then maybe, you know, add more days. But you basically take a half hour to start. And you find a quiet space in your home or in your backyard, far away from distractions. You light a candle and you visualize all that's weighing you down inside is going to be sucked up by that candle. That candle's going to take away that negative energy. Okay.
Okay.
So then you get your pad of paper out and you just write whatever comes to mind for 30 minutes. You just write. And it doesn't matter if your sentences flow well. It doesn't, you might start one thought and then go to a second
trail
thought.
Off,
you
yeah.
just, your hand is going. So whatever you're thinking, you're writing it out for 30 minutes. When you stop, you kind of close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. And then you get rid of that paper. So you don't go back and reread what you wrote down. You get it out of you and then you get rid of the paper. So you can either burn the paper, you can shred the paper, you can rip the paper up.
Wow.
But you're releasing it.
I see. So just the act of expunging those thoughts and then destroying them, meaning that you just don't need to return to them anymore. That
you're giving it the power. You're letting it go.
Ah, there you go.
You're giving yourself the power to release these things that have been bothering you, upsetting you, you know, making you angry, whatever. Whatever's weighing you down in any area of your life. And I was doing that for a while, especially after my divorce. And it helps. And I notice, especially the day after, you wake up and you feel lighter.
That's good. And I'll tell you, everybody is harboring some form of stress, anxiety during this time. I think more people could probably benefit to just let it go and to get it out and let it go, because sitting at home bottled up, it's just going to, it's going to deteriorate your lifestyle.
It will. It will. So I think that it's worth a shot. Journaling is wonderful. And if you're not into that, you know, like things that you've been doing, the meditation, yoga, getting out there for walks.
Yeah. I think you just got to find a way to, you know, everybody's like a damp cloth. You got to wring it out every once in a while. And if you don't, it does. It like anything, like a ton of water, it weighs your ass down. It weighs your soul down and you start to feel that way. And I think
absolutely,
if you don't have it, you know, hey, we're still in this thing for a while longer. So you got to find a way to exercise your demons.
Absolutely. You know, and then when you have that kind of a buildup of negativity, it's going to affect every relationship around you, because you're going to lash out, you know, you're going to take things out on people. We all do it. So just really trying to focus on our mental health during these times is so important.
Yeah, we need it. We're going to, and especially again, you know, in a day and age of a pandemic, I think your mental health has a lot to do with your physical health too. And I think that, you know, people can literally make themselves ill. And that's the thing. And in a time when you could catch this thing, you need to have a healthy immune system. And you know what? If you do catch it, from what I've heard, if it gets really bad, it does take a lot to get through it mentally. So you have to be strong. You got to fight this thing. This thing isn't just, I mean, if at its worst, it is not the common cold. It's a bear. It's bad.
I don't know anybody close to me that has COVID, but I've heard stories from other people.
Yeah.
And especially at my place of work, you know, the doctors or, you know, the other people will talk about different cases that they've heard of.
Right.
And people are saying that having COVID-19 it's the worst feeling they've ever experienced. It's like they feel like they're just going to crawl in a ball and die. You know, it's horrible.
It's horrible. And it's horrible to the people that, you know, actually go all the way to having to be on respirators and things of that nature. And it's a long climb out of those holes. So
it is.
We're very grateful. You know, I know internally our family, you know, thank God that everybody has been in good health, even our elderly grandmas. You know, I know you guys are checking up on them, making sure they're still going.
They're still going. I don't think anything can get Grammy. You know, like I think of Peony and, you know, our grandmother, we call her Peony for Peanut. She's this little 5-foot firecracker.
Yes, she
I don't
is.
Think anything could wipe her out. I think that she's going to live to be like 110.
God bless her. She has such strength and vigor. I think she could run circles around me, honestly. And
me
you know
too.
What? Good for her. And you know, the
you and me both.
Little Grammy lives up on the hill all by herself. And I know she's got her tribe, which is you guys. And I'm glad I noticed, you know, when it started too, everybody kept their distance from her. And now it seems like everybody's starting
that
to bring her out
hard.
Into the world again, though, which is good. You know, being
that
safe and
hard.
Making sure that, you know, she does all the things she has to do, like her wear a mask and all that stuff.
You know, it broke my heart with her, because if we got her groceries, we would just like leave it in her, like in the front of her house. We would just leave the groceries and then run away. Like we couldn't even like hug her. We would be like, we'd call her and be like, hi, the groceries are on your front porch. We'll talk to you later.
You can't even help bring the groceries in. This
you
poor
know,
thing. I know.
We would just dump her groceries in the front porch and she'd be, the poor thing would be looking at us through the window, and my heart was just breaking.
I know.
Breaking.
It's like a puppy dog through glass, man.
I know. It's sad.
Yeah. But, well, listen, let's end this on a good note. Something I've been trying to do with everybody is, like, the question I like to pose to everybody is, when this is all said and done, what's one of the first things you can't wait to do again?
I love that you asked this, because I saw a meme about it.
Oh, really?
I thought it was the cutest thing ever. When this shit show has ended, I'm going to take my mask and I'm going to throw it in the air like a fucking graduation cap.
Yeah, that's true. In the hopes that you never have to wear it ever again.
We're all going to take the mask off and just throw it in the air. We're done.
Yeah.
It's over.
Well, listen, thank you for doing this. I appreciate you, absolutely. Us finally getting together and having this conversation. Yes. And I love you
love
very
you,
much.
Love you so much, you and Catherine. And this has been fun. And hopefully we can do it again.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Love you.
All right. I'll talk to you. Bye.
Thank you for your call.
And my sister, ladies and gentlemen, what a great interview. She did a great job.
Yeah, I miss your family. I miss her. I miss your folks.
I do. It's been weird just during this, is that, you know, thank God for Zoom. I mean, honestly, huge shout out to Zoom. I just gave them free advertisement on this show, like anyone listens to this show. But, you know, it's been nice to have that and to be able to just like see my family. I mean, it's like, I mean, sure, we've always talked before. And I think it's funny that, you know, the pandemic has actually pushed us to do way more. We do basically weekly Zoom calls with my folks every Sunday.
Yeah, I actually feel that I know more about what's going on in their lives and everything now than I did before, which is crazy. But I do miss, like, the sitting around the table
thing,
you know?
I just love all the little, you know, ticks and funny things about my family. And it's just, it's hard when you go so long without seeing your family. It's just, I guess, again, bringing it back to the video call, at least I still get to see that on display in some way, in some, I guess, you know, technological way I get to see it. But I do, I long to see them, to give them a big hug. And I look forward to that time. Hopefully that's not, you know, super, super far in the future. But
yeah, I know. And we've said a lot these past few months that, you know, there would be several occasions up till now that we would have seen both of our families.
Absolutely.
You know, and our friends and all the, you know, even with a busy life, there's so many occasions that we would have already seen people. And it's getting tougher as the time goes by.
It is weird. Yeah. I mean, we have typically made kind of a little trip up to the Northeast, maybe every summer, if not every other summer, we make a trip up there. And I don't know, there's always something nice, a little change of venue up there. The summer nights are really nice up there. And my sister mentions that in the interview, how they've had a really nice summer up there.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've done exactly what we've done. They've basically kind of lived in a kind of a quarantine state of mind where they very slowly started to see different family members, little small gatherings here and there. My sister and my mom have braved the waters. They did go to the mall, which seemed kind of crazy, but they had a good time. And, you know, it was interesting to hear how, you know, they kind of reacted to everything. But, you know, it is just life has to go on. Unfortunately, it has to go on being safe and being thoughtful to other people as well.
Yeah,
and
it goes on in its new format.
It does. And we've seen that down here. They're seeing that up there. And I'm sure all these listeners, you're seeing it in your lives in some way. Everybody's affected by this. That's kind of the crazy thing is we act so sometimes different with our beliefs about it. But nobody can deny that this hasn't affected their life.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're an anti-masker, you know, you're, I guess, having to hit the streets in protest just to keep your way of life or whatever it is you're fighting for. So, you know, even those folks who don't want to wear the masks, they're unhappy too for different reasons,
yeah.
But they're unhappy too. So none of us have gotten out of this with no change to our everyday existence.
Absolutely. I mean, it's weird, and it's like, it's going to be one of those things in a few years, 5 years, 10 years, we're going to look back on this and it'll be an interesting kind of dissection of how people look at it and how they remember it. I'm sure most people aren't going to remember it fondly, but I think there'll be people that might look back on it and be like, you know what? I changed a little bit during that time, or I did something different. I picked up a new hobby that was good for me. I got in shape. I got creative, you know, and then there'll be people that like, I got divorced and I ate too much, you know? So I think like, there's going to be this interesting two sides to that coin.
Well, if I'm going to be honest with you, though, I think even the folks who have made the most of this, who have gone out and done awesome things, I think that's still a product of some kind of grieving for your old life. You know,
I think so.
I don't know. I think it's a different reaction to the same thing is, I guess, what I'm trying to say. You know, I think, and I was thinking about it recently. It is a grieving thing. Like, I know I personally sit back and think like, we'll say to each other, oh, yeah, remember that was the last time we went out to dinner before this? Do you remember that was the last? And you think about it, like when you lose a person, and God, for those people who have also lost a person in this, by the way, my heart really goes out to you.
Oh, without a doubt.
But, you know, it's like the same thing where you go, oh, I didn't know that was going to be the last, you know, and there is a grief to it. And, you know, if there's one thing I learned in therapy many years ago, it's that we can have grief for all kinds of things. It's not just life and death, although there is obviously grief there as well. But, you know, this is grief.
Yeah, you're right. I think in some sense, we're all mourning something right now. And
and people deal with it differently.
Yeah.
Man, if you went out and fucking wrote a book or, you know, cleaned out your garage or lost some weight, fucking good for you. I've done the opposite of those things, but, you know, there's still time. 6 months, 1 year, let's go.
Or, you know, if you just sat on your ass and gained weight and picked up bad habits, I guess what I'd say to you is that's okay. And I don't think people should necessarily be super hard on themselves either in this period of time. I don't think people should beat themselves up and look at it as a defeat. I truly look at a lot of this as a get-out-of-jail-free card. Obviously, the odds are stacked up against us in this situation. So it's just kind of like, hey, you know, you do you. I think it's about waking up every day and finding a little piece of feel good here and there. Take it for what it is. I try to do it. Sometimes I fail miserably at it. Sometimes I'm high-fiving myself and I'm like, yeah, it was a good day. A good thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, though, it's fine what serves you. You know, like if you are sitting on the couch and eating every day and that actually makes you happy, then that's great.
Amen.
And if there
More
comes
power
a
to
point
you.
At which it no longer makes you happy, then move on from that. So
right.
Whatever serves you, and don't be afraid to leave the shit behind that's no longer serving you.
100%. Well, with that, I think that's a good note to leave on. It's a positive note. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Again, we're not doing these often, as frequently as we were in the beginning. But, you know, it is a kind of an ongoing show that we're doing throughout this experience, I guess we could call it. I want to thank the Ono Radio Show, Owen and the gang over at the show. A little plug for them. If you don't listen to the show, it's usually every week. You can hear them over at their Twitch feed, twitch.com/ONRS Live, ONRS Live. And Ono Radio Show's got a lot of great programs on it. If you just go to www.onoradioshow.com, we're on there. We have our little section, Smells Like Teen Spirit. Not Teen Spirit, sorry. It goes to show where I ripped it off from. Smells Like Quarantine Spirit. All of our 14 episodes are up there. You can go back, listen to, God, the first episode we did in the very beginning of the pandemic. Mm. But, you know, this is fun. It's kind of a little exercise for us, kind of expel the demons, if you will, and get to talk about stuff. But we really appreciate all the listeners. We're going to take you out like we typically do to another quarantine. Of course, Chromeo did release an entire album about the quarantine called Quarantine Casanova. You can just find that, I think, basically on iTunes. It came out, God, a few months ago. I'm a little behind the eight ball on this, but it's a pretty good jam. Kath, thanks for doing the show again.
Thank you.
Any parting words to our listeners?
I thought I did that already, but yeah, no.
New parting words?
Hey, everybody, just live your life as awesomely as you can.
I love that. All right, everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I just looked inside the closet. The paper towel's running scarce.
Ooh, running scarce, running scarce.
Don't know what to do about it. The grocery stores and got me scared.
They got me scared, yeah.
I should probably place an order. I guess that's the best bet.
That's the best bet, ooh.
But deliveries are slower than Teddy Riley's internet.
No disrespect.